You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith, Family, and Finances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
So I put this together many years ago, and I wanted to go over some fundamental things regarding faith, family, and finances. Faith, family, and finances. All right. And so as they're handing those out, I'm just going to summarize what we covered so far from this outline. And the first thing is that we want to know that God is concerned about families. And for that reason, he saved the whole family of Noah. He didn't just save Noah. He said, you, your wife, your sons, and their wives. He preserved that. A family. He didn't just preserve the husband and the wife. He preserved the family. And so God, we see that God's concerned about families. And then we dealt with last week the fact that God desires to financially increase you and your family. Now, these are some fundamental things. If you're not from this church or been around this kind of word, you know, and there's people who say all kind of lies about me and about this church, you know, we just the money church and all that. Can I tell you, first of all, I'd rather be the money church than the broke church. So y'all can say what you want to, okay? Okay, the reason why a lot of people aren't here tonight because they're still working or they're tired from working, which means they were concerned about some money today. Okay, and so let's not fool ourselves. Money is what makes you mobile in the earth. Faith makes you mobile in the kingdom of God, but money makes you mobile in the earth. You can't go anywhere in the earth without money. If you came here tonight, you came here on somebody's dime or your own dime. Either you bought a car, you had to pay for insurance. Come on now. So we're getting down to some basic nitty gritty things regarding finances, and God doesn't want his people. Now, I want you to hear me. God does not want his people struggling financially. The truth of the matter is there's bigger fish to fry than just being concerned about your rent every month and your mortgage every month. If you're just concerned with the bare necessities of life as we go on here, you'll see that you can't fulfill higher purposes in life other than just being concerned about yourself. So the people of God, we need to get this thing needs to get settled in our lives. We need to operate with wisdom, and everything starts with first knowing what the will of God. What the will of God is. Say this with me. Say, faith begins where the will of God is known. So we're taking the time to let you see what the will of God is regarding your finances so you know what to believe for. Now, I grew up in the church, okay? I grew up in the church, and I've been in church all my life, okay? I don't remember a time that I wasn't part of the church, and they told me one time I got loose in church when I was about 3 years old, ran down to the front of the church while the music was going, and started doing the monkey, okay? I don't remember ever not being in church, and they said my sisters, my brother, my cousin, nobody wanted to go. They kept saying, whose child is this? They just stood right there. Okay, I don't ever remember. Some of y'all say, "What's the monkey?" Don't even worry about it. Okay, but I don't remember. I don't ever remember not being in church. But the church taught me things that I found out later weren't directly in the Word of God. So once I learned what was in the Word, I could believe at another level. For example, I grew up in a church hearing that the days of man are 70. A score is 20. 70. That's 70. And then it said, by reason of strength, perhaps 80. All right? So people always say it, and they always use their funerals and all that, that the days of man are supposed to be 70 to 80 years. In other words, then if you got to 80, my goodness, any day now, because you're in overtime now. You're in overtime. God only promised you 80. You're in overtime now. And then when I studied the word, I saw that God said not before man sinned, but even after man sinned, when he put him out the garden, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. This day shall be 120 years. 120. Now, see, I didn't always know that. So now I'm pushing to 120. Are you following me? So watch this. Once I knew what the will of God is, then I know what to believe God for. You understand? So faith begins where the will of God is known. So there's some things I just want to get you to understand that it's the will of God for you to prosper economically. We've had to try to change this and use all different kind of words like economic empowerment and financial literacy and all. Bottom line, we need y'all to have some money. Okay, and God wants you to have money. Amen. and he wants to know how to manage it, and he wants us to be able to live well and give well. Amen. Say that. Say, I will live well and give well. Now let me say something about that, because there are two extremes of populist teaching today regarding finances and economics. And one is that there's the people who want you to live your dream at any expense, okay? Other people's money and all that kind of stuff. Just borrow your way into some fake reality, okay? And you own nothing, and you're paying for everything. The clothes on you, you're still paying for your clothes, you're paying for your shoes, you're paying for your weave. Okay, you're paying for you. Still paying for your groceries, really? Now, seriously, when they first came out with, when they allowed people to do, I know people never think about this. People never think about this. But when they started allowing people to use credit cards for groceries, I said this ain't a good thing. And I'm very serious about that. So you still paying for steak you ate last month? It comes to all the systems, the excretory systems, circulatory system, nervous system. Okay, you got rid of it, but you still owe on it. That just ain't right. Okay, certain things, come on, you got, and so you, there's that extreme of debt, and then you got the other extreme, and some of these people are Christians who basically tell you, you shouldn't be driving around in a nice car, don't live in a nice house. In other words, just save, live meagerly right now, don't spend any money right now, so you can have money when you're old. Okay, and then when you get 80, now you're a millionaire. Okay, but you can't go nowhere. Don't want to go nowhere. I had my annual cardiac appointment with my cardiologist this week. I said to him, because you know, I told you my wife and I, we think about. I told you once I put four kids through college, realized we had more money than I thought we did. So I said we're going to do this money. One thing we're going to do is the money. We're going to travel the world. Okay, and so we look at where we're going to go. And so I said to my doctor, I said, you travel much out the world? And out the world. Some people get me to travel out the world. They're going to take those things, shuttle to space and all that. I ain't trying to do all that. I said, do you travel much out the country? He said, nah, not anymore. He said, I used to when I was younger. He said, but it's just too aggravating now. It's too aggravating. So I thought about all the people who wait. All the people who wait. Okay, to save, and then when you're old, and now you're telling me that's too aggravating. Okay, you can't enjoy anything. So that's another extreme. Can I tell you, God wants you to live and save. Amen. He wants you to enjoy life. I'm saying these headlines, but I'm going to give you this in the fine print in the word. All right. So let's move on. God is concerned about family. God desires to finance increase you in your family. Let's move on. Number three. So why does God want to finance increase you in your family? Okay. And notice I said God increase you. Everybody say God will increase me. Okay. Now here's another scripture that set me free. Ecclesiastes is not in the notes. There's some that I'm adding as I go. Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 19. Now, this scripture freed me, because I told y'all, even though I was born, born and raised in church, I joined the church when I was like 10, right? 10, 11, something like that. Why did I join the church? Did y'all listen to my story? Why did I join my church? Because I wanted to sing in the choir, that's all. I wanted to sing in the junior choir, and they said in order to sing in the junior choir, you got to be a member of the church. Okay, so when I joined the choir, the son Aiden found out I could sing. I ended up leading the song. And the song that I led was what? I just sang it. Didn't I sing it Sunday? I decided to make Jesus my choice. Okay, some folks would rather have houses or land. Some folks choose silver or gold. These things they treasure and forget about their souls. But I decided to make Jesus my choice. So that was the first song that I sang in the church. I'll never forget, some folks would rather have houses and land. Some folks choose silver or gold. These things they treasure and they forget all about their soul, but I decided to make Jesus my choice. So when you hear that, that creates a mentality that either you're going to have money, you're going to be saved. Right? It's either or. And then even in recent years, you know, I mean, I love them, anointed artists and songwriter and all that. But, you know, and based upon the old way of thinking, silver and gold, I'd rather have Jesus than silver. And which, again, make it sound like you got to make a choice. Are y'all listening to me? And that mentality will in some kind of way make you think that money is bad. You're either going to have money or you're going to have Jesus now. Okay? How about this one? Man, he's filthy rich. He's filthy. Now, why rich got to be filthy? See, that's a mentality. In other words, they're still saying something's wrong with money. Why can't I just be straight up clean rich? Look, somebody say, I'm going to be clean rich. So money is neither good nor bad. Money is neither positive or negative. Money is neither dirty nor clean. The truth is money is neutral. It's what you do with it. And so this scripture freed me because then if there were Christians who had money, folks, just like folks think today, must be doing something wrong. And God forbid you're a rich preacher. God forbid. Must be doing something wrong. Must be stealing something. Must not be in it for the right reasons. All this stuff because there's a mentality that says if you have money, got to be something wrong. And this scripture freed me from all the haters. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. Oh, who gives riches and wealth? Oh, so you don't have to steal for it. You don't have to hook and crook for it. God can give it to you. Every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and have given him power to eat thereof. That means having money and then having the health that you can utilize it. And watch this. And to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. This is what? This is the gift of God. Oh, God, this is God. This is the Lord's doing. And it ought to be marvelous in our eyes. Okay? Now, put that verse up for me. We're going to go back and forth here. Put that up in the New Living Translation for me. That same verse. New Living Translation. It is a good thing. Everybody say good thing. If it's a good thing, then it's not a. Come on, yes, say it. If it's a good thing, it's not a. So it's not a bad thing to have wealth and riches. Oh, come on now. It is a good thing to receive wealth from God, not to steal for it, and the good health to enjoy it. Hey, man, come on. If you ain't no sense having money if you can't have no money, if you have no health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. To take his part, to enjoy his labor. God said, if you work for it, glory to God, ain't nothing wrong with you having it. If you dug for it, like you dig the brass, like I was teaching on Sunday, then there's nothing wrong with you having it. Amen. See, a lot of times people are judging people's stuff. Yeah, that's a shame to have a car like that. No, that ain't a shame. It's the gift of God. Praise God. That's a shame to have a house that big. No, that's not a shame. It's the gift of God. So I don't care what the people say, as long as I know I'm in the Word. Oh, come on now. So I don't even argue with people with poverty mindsets because I've been there. Glory to God. Don't you judge my rich days till you see my poor days. And don't you judge my harvest till you see my seed. And don't you judge my portion till you know my labor. Come on now. Put up the next verse. And you can put up verse 20. Put it verse 20. I'm going to read King James and then I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Verse 20. For he shall not much remember the days of his life because God answered him the joy of his heart. Okay. Doesn't mean much there. So now look at that from the New Living Translation. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life. God keeps me busy enjoying life. That they take no time to brood over the past. In other words, my latter days end up better than my former days. So I used to be broke, but praise God, I'm not anymore. Used to be sick, but praise God, I'm healed now. I used to not have anything, but now God blessed me with all things. And I'm just so grateful. Watch this. I don't have any regrets because God's been good to me. That's how God wants you to live. He wants to give you wealth and riches and make you forget about. He said, to forget about the shame of your youth and the fact where you came from and all that. Praise God, those days are over because God has blessed me. Everybody say, God has blessed me. So I want you to see that God wants to increase you. So why does he want to do it? The first thing he says, I'll do it to establish my covenant. That's just a nice theological way of saying, because I promise I would do it. So God tells Abraham and tells the people of God in Deuteronomy 8. And now we know Galatians 3 connects us with that. Same blessed as on Israel and the children of Israel is now we're all part of that based upon Galatians 3. Read it when you have an opportunity. I don't have time to go into it tonight. But all those who are faith, we're blessed right along with faithful Abraham. There is no difference. Amen. So he says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Oh, so God gives power to get wealth. It's not the devil. So it's he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Why does he do this? He'll give you the power to get wealth. Notice he says also, he's not just going to give you the wealth, he's going to give you the power to get it. I'm going to give you your strength and the ability and wisdom and know-how and ingenuity to dig for it. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. In other words, God said, I promise your fathers I'm going to bless you. So I got to do it. I promise your fathers I would increase you. So I got to do it. And watch it. And when it's manifested, that's how I establish my covenant. So God's people being blessed. And right now, there's all kinds of ways we talk about blessed. But I'm talking about blessed financially. Amen. Blessed economically is one way that God established his covenant. He proves that he's the God who he said he was. Amen. He says he'll take the poor from the dunghill and set him among princes. He got to do that for somebody. Amen. Though your beginning was small, your latter end should greatly increase. When you increase, God's establishing his covenant. When you bring all the tithes to the storehouse, there may be meat in his house. And then he opens up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And you don't have room enough to receive it. God says, see, didn't I tell you I'd do it? Amen. He does it to establish his covenant. Number two, okay, he wants to bless us financially and economically so to help spread the gospel. Amen. Can I tell you all something? I don't give two hoots about strip clubs. Never been to one. I think they exploit women. Amen. I don't think it's a good thing in communities and all that. I don't care about strip clubs. I don't care for every strip club in the world down Broad River Road or wherever shut down. I don't care. I don't think about it. I won't lose an ounce, a blink of sleep worried about a strip club. I don't care about strip clubs. Are y'all following me here? Y'all see I don't like strip clubs. Okay. I don't care about who owns the strip club. I don't care how much money they're making from the strip club. I don't even care about the women coming down the pole slipping, making money from the, and I don't care about the brothers making it rain in the strip club. I don't care nothing about no strip club. Y'all hear me? I don't care nothing about no strip clubs. I'm saying that to make a point. The same way I feel about strip clubs, there's some sinners, they feel that way about the church. That's what I want you to see. Just like I said, I don't care. There are people say, I don't care about no church. I don't care if they all shut down. I don't value strip clubs. I don't see any value in it. I'm not in any way connected with it. There are so many people in the world, that's how they feel about the church. I don't care if every church shuts down. I don't care if all preachers in poverty. I don't care if churches can't pay their mortgage. I don't care anything about that. I was just making a strip club point to say the way I feel about that, the way I'm expressing myself, that's how many people feel about the church. So the people who value the church, they got to support the church. Are y'all following me here? The strip club, no, they can't come to me for no money. Can you please come help keep our strip club open? I might even cuss them out in Jesus' name. Because whatever you do, do it in Jesus' name. Okay? I'm not the strip club constituency. Y'all follow me. And the reason why I'm saying that, so the people who value it got to support it. If we're going to build churches, strip clubs ain't going to help us build churches. Church people, Christians who love the Lord and see value in the church, we got to have the money to make this happen. Someone who went to our church for many years and still kind of connected with us in one way or another. She came to us. She said after she left our church, went to another church. It was a smaller church. She said, and the pastor had them out there begging on the street. Okay. So they had them out there begging. They had them out there begging. And they said, and they came from the right direction. They said, now, I know you ain't going to have them there begging for the church. People think the church is crazy out there begging. And some people think that's what the church ain't supposed to be begging. Do you understand? The church is a non-profit organization. And that simply means this church can't be set up to bless Herbert Bailey. That's what nonprofit means. It's not for the personal profit of an individual or group of individuals. It has to be for the people at large. Nonprofit does not mean unprofitable. That's a lot of people don't understand that. Well, it's a nonprofit. You can't pay expenses if you're not profitable. Amen. Profit means income over expenses. So God needs his people blessed so we can spread the gospel. Because the world is not going to support it. So Malachi 3:10, I mentioned tithes earlier, says bring all the tithes and storehouse. Why? So there can be meat in my house. Going to be what? What's meat? Provision. God said, this ain't a gimmick. Let me tell you why I need to bring tithes into the storehouse. So there can be meat in my house. I need there to be provision. And if you don't bring it in, the strip club ain't going to give it to us. Amen. And then as a result of you doing that, I'll open up the wind. Prove me. Test me. I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing that it shall not be room enough to receive it. Are y'all with me here? Okay. So we need money to support ministry. Mark 16 and verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go where? You can't go downtown and preach the gospel if you don't have any money. Amen. Unless you're walking. Okay. If you're going to get there by any kind of transportation, there's the money for the car, money for the insurance, money for gas. Okay. And so we can't go throughout the world and preach the gospel without money. My greatest reward in ministry in 40 years of preaching was going to a little cement block church in the middle of the bush in Ghana, Africa. Okay. Took us about 2 hours to get there. Went down a main road and then we cut off and we went down into the bush over the mountains and through the hills. Okay, up and down, not very much infrastructure all around the road, you know, we had to stop and go down and look, feel like craters and come up and all that. And then we got to this little cement block church, okay, and people started coming out the bush with babies wrapped on their back and all that. And they came and it was a church that maybe seated 80 to 100 people and they packed jam-packed in there, and then they stood all around, and some stood in the windows, some of them just stood in the door, some stood outside. It was my most rewarding time of ministry. Watch this. And they didn't pay a dime for me to get there. But when I saw those people down in the bush, I realized the only way they're going to get the gospel, somebody got to have the money and the heart to get the gospel to them. Are y'all following me? There was no public transportation out there. They didn't even have cars out there. Are y'all with me here? Somebody had to have money enough. And I thank God for, you know, all my preacher friends who've gone to Africa at somebody else's expense. Every time I've gone, I paid my own way. Okay. And paid a lot of money. In order to do that, I had to have money. And somebody had to be supporting ministry. So all these people say, well, what the church is supposed to do. Church is supposed to do this. Church is supposed to do this. Well, the only way the church can do it, somebody got to be supporting it. All right? Now look at this. Look at Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 1. Luke 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and 12 were with him. Now, this letting you know that Jesus had he wasn't just by himself. He had his 12. We can say those were his staff. He was training them. They were his students, but they were also his staff. Keep going. Verse 2. And certain women, particular women. Here's what I want you to see. Who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Now, this is the one thing that all these women had in common that he's going to mention here. They have been healed of evil spirits. Y'all know what that means? Talk to me. What does that mean? They had been demon possessed, and demons have been cast out of them because of Jesus and his ministry team. and had infirmities. Infirmities are sickness and diseases. And among them, he mentions, was Mary, called Magdalene. You know her as Mary Magdalene. And her issue was she had seven devils. Seven demons have been cast out of her as a result of Jesus' ministry. Keep going. And Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod Stewart, and Susanna. So we don't know if these women were demon-possessed or either had, but they had some type of sickness, disease, or infirmity, who had been healed as a result of Jesus' ministry. And many others. There were many others who had been healed of sickness and disease or demons cast out. What did they do? They ministered unto him of their substance.
You can prepare your family's future by making important financial decisions now. Lack does not have to be in your family line if you apply key principles. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares biblical and practical wisdom to move your family forward in these poignant teachings. Order today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Faith, Family, and Finances.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.